On our last broadcast, I began a message entitled, Making It on Broken Pieces. It's the story of the Apostle Paul being shipwrecked. We learned two things. First, God keeps his promises. And secondly, God can use anybody. And there's one more lesson that we can learn. So open your Bibles to Acts 27 and we'll take a look in the book.
Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of messages out of the book of Acts. So get close to your radio now as we take a look in the book.
Verse 1, 2, and 3. The Bible says, now this is before the storm, when they first got on board of the ship. Look at verse 1. It says, and when it was determined that we should sail to Italy, that's Rome, that they delivered Paul and certain prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. We know that this is a factual truth because we know who the centurion name, the man name is, Julius. And entering into the ship at Arminius, we launch, meaning to sail to the coast of Asia, and one Tarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. Notice that Paul took one of his friends with him on board of the ship. I'm going to explain that in a minute. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. Wait a minute. I done saw many movies, and I have heard about prisoners being transferred from the county jail to the penitentiary. I done heard of how they take prisoners there from downtown to the jail. Then they take them from the jail to the courtroom, and then from the courtroom back there to the jail, and then transfer them to the penitentiary. And whenever they are transferring prisoners, they always have them like maximum security. They got ankle chains, they got hand chains, they are chained to one another and everything. You ain't going nowhere. But look here, the man done freed Paul and said, Paul, go visit your friend. Paul went and visited one of his friends and then brought him back. Brought him back, put his friends on board of the ship with him. When they got to the other town, the centurion loosed Paul again and said, Paul, you're free to go visit your friends in that town. You got some friends over there? Go see your friends. Paul went over there and visited his friends. Now, whoever heard of something like that? The sheriff's department don't do nothing like that. They don't let you go visit your friends when they finna transfer you down there to Huntsville. When they getting ready to transfer you down there to Huntsville to the penitentiary, you're up under maximum security. They don't let your friends and family ride with you on the bus going down the highway. But that's what happened here. Why is that? Because God was using an unsaved man to grant favor in Paul's life. How many of you know that God can touch the heart of an unsaved person and make them act kind towards you? And it didn't stop there. It didn't stop there. Because when you look over here in verse number 40 and 41, the Bible says that when the two seas met there in 41 and the ship ran aground, they hit something and the ship broke up. Well, the Bible says in 42 that the soldiers' counsel was to kill all the prisoners. Now, why was that? Because if a prisoner escaped from you, that meant that you're going to have to pay for that prisoner with your own life. So if that prisoner escaped, that means you got to kill yourself. You're going to either kill yourself or they're going to kill you. And so the soldiers said, hey, let's go on and kill them so that they won't end up killing us when we get to Rome. But notice, the centurion willing, verse 43, to save Paul. Look at that. The centenarian willing to save Paul. The centenarian was the man that was in charge of the 100 soldiers. The Bible says he kept them from their purpose. He was trying to save Paul, but in the process, he saved everybody. Now notice, God used an unsaved person to help save Paul. In other words, God uses the unsaved to save the saved. Now that's heavy theology. You know, when I first started preaching, I was really into making sure that whenever I needed somebody to do something for me, they had to be a Christian. I wanted to have me a Christian doctor. I wanted to have me a Christian lawyer. I wanted to have me a Christian mechanic, a Christian dentist. I wanted to have a Christian. Everything had to be Christian. And so when I was going to seminary, I had gotten in a car accident, and I came up on campus with a sling because my arm was in a sling. I hurt my arm there in the car accident, and I knew that my friend was going to this rich church where they had a lot of professional people. And so I walked up to him with my little lame self. I walked up there to him, and I asked him, I said, hey, do you know a Christian lawyer? He said, you need a lawyer? He said, yeah, look like you do need a lawyer, don't you? I said, yeah, I need a Christian lawyer. He pulled his glasses off, and I'll never forget, he looked at me. He says, you don't need a Christian lawyer, but you need the best lawyer. Mm-hmm. Right then, I didn't understand that. But after living many moons, I understand exactly what he's saying now. Because everybody who say that they are Christian, they're not always a Christian. And just because you're a Christian don't mean that you do your job better than somebody else. You know, we get all excited when we go to a restaurant or something and we find out, oh, that waiter there is a Christian. You know, because the waiter come there and say, praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. You know, we get all like, oh, they're Christian. They're Christian. They're Christian. They're Christian. Oh, yeah, and then she'll tell you, you know, our chef back there is even a Christian. And then you taste that food. Say, they need some prayer up in here. You don't just want to just have a Christian. You want to have the best person possible. See, I'm not so concerned now when I get ready to go and get me a mechanic or go over here and get me, you know, a doctor, a lawyer, what have you, or whether or not they're a Christian. What I'm more concerned about, have I been a Christian? Yeah, that's what I'm concerned about. Because if I've been living a righteous life and I know God, regardless who I have, I can put God on them. See, my Bible says that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. So even if I do have an unsaved doctor, if I pray right, I believe God, I touched that unsaved doctor and guide his hand. Even if I do have an unsaved lawyer, I believe if I pray right, God, I drop in that lawyer heart and spirit, the wisdom of God, and he'll defend me like he's Matlock. Why is that? Because God can use anything, and God can use anybody. Use anybody. Whether they save or whether they lost, God can use. Everybody is at God's disposal. God can even use the devil in your life. Amen. God used good and bad. Everybody is under his disposal. There is nothing that can operate outside of the authority of God. Why is that? Because God is sovereign. He can do whatever he want to do. And when he want to do it, God can use anybody. But the last point is God can use anything. He can use anything. What I learned from the adventures of Paul is, number one, God keeps his promise. But then number two, God can use anybody, whether they save or lost. God can use them. But then the third thing, God can use anything. Anything. Look at this text. Look at this text. The Bible says in verse 44 again, and the rest, some on bulwarks, some on broken pieces of the ship. And it came to pass they escaped all safe to the land. Look at that. Those that could swim, they swam on to the land. But what about them that couldn't swim? God fixed it. He took what was intended to be bad, the shipwreck, and turned it out to be good. Because if they didn't have the shipwreck and broke up the ship, they wouldn't have had no boards and broken pieces. See, but God made provision for them that couldn't swim. God said, we got to break this thing up so somebody can grab hold to a bullet, or grab hold to a bit, or grab hold to a broken piece, and they can float on to the land. You know, a lot of people, don't come up on stage yet. Y'all can just stop right out there. A lot of people. What a lot of people do is they believe in order to get out of a storm or to get through a shipwreck, they got to have something new. Yeah. See, when you done came out of a storm, listen to me good now. When you done came through a shipwreck, this ain't the time to go try to buy something new. You're getting ready to get deeper in debt. When you done come through a storm, when you done come through a shipwreck, then you got to do some creative thinking. When you're going through a storm, when you're going through a shipwreck, you got to think outside the box. You can't reach and grab something new. A lot of people think that the only way we're going to make it now, we got to go and buy something new. Or we got to get the latest this and the latest that and the newest this and the newest that. No. When you are trying to make it through a storm, you got to go and just grab a broken piece. You gotta get a bit of something, a piece of something in order to make it. Oh, that's the heritage of most African Americans. We would not be sitting here today if God did not give our parents the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding of how to make it just using broken pieces. You know, thank God for my mama. I come from a poor family, but I didn't know it because mama made up for the poorness through her wisdom. You know what mama would do sometime? I saw mama take some biscuits and some leftover biscuits and some leftover bread, the end pieces of the bread, and crumb them all up, put them in a bowl, put it in the oven there, and we got a bread pudding. In other words, mama just made it on some broken pieces. We would come home sometime and say, mama, we're hungry. Mama say, dinner ain't ready yet. But what mama would do, mama would go in the refrigerator. And mama would look and mama would see some old cornbread. And she'd take pieces of cornbread and crumbing it up in a glass. And then pour some milk in the glass. And then take a little sugar and stir it up. And say, him boy. In other words, we're making it now on some broken pieces. Sometimes mama would look at that cornbread and mama would say, oh, we got enough cornbread here. And mama would take that cornbread and put it in a bowl. She'd look back in the refrigerator there and see some old chicken there and crumble up that chicken and put it in and then throw that in the oven and it'll come out with some good dressing. Broken pieces. We would, sometime I would run in the house and say, mama, mama, look at my jeans here. I done told my jeans. And mama said, that's all right, boy. And mama would go and get one of my old pair of jeans there and cut them. And then she would cut a little square. And then she would put a patch on it and sew it up. And you good to go. Broken pieces. Sometimes you would go over to ladies' houses and you would see these ladies, they done took a pair of clothes over here and they had taken a lit blanket, tore a blanket over there. And they would be patching, look like this blanket. You didn't know exactly what they was making. Take a lit sheet and take a lit blanket. And some of it would be red, some of it would be green, and some of it would be orange. But when they finished it, it would be a nice quilt. You wouldn't get cold. In other words, they made it on broken pieces. My first bicycle that I got for Christmas, it wasn't a brand new bicycle. I was worrying my daddy to death. Daddy, is Santa gonna bring me a bicycle? Daddy said, you have to wait till Christmas, boy. Christmas came. You know what my daddy did? My daddy took my brother's old bicycle frame. And then daddy went and bought two new tires and two new inner tubes and went and bought an air pump. And then we pumped up those two new tires, slapped them on that particular frame, and I rode that bicycle all day on Christmas. And then some. In other words, we made it on broken pieces. Some old men, a lot of times, they would see cars there in the backyard. And they say, you don't want that car? And they would take that car and drag that old car, pull it on down there to their house. And then they would go there to the junkyard and pick out a part here and get a part from over there and put another part over there. And they'll put them parts on that old broken down car and you will see that car all over town. Why is that? Because they made it on broken pieces. See, you can make it, but you gotta make it on broken pieces. See, mama and them even taught us the Bible. And if we can memorize all of Psalms 23, mama said, get the first verse down. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, let's get a broken piece of that. Psalm 24, you can't get it all down. Mama say, if you can just get that first verse down, the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world that dwell therein. Mama would say, can y'all read Psalms 121? And she say, if you can't get it all, get the first verse down. I lift mine eyes to the hills from which come my help. My help come from the Lord. See, you can make it just on some broken pieces of the word of God. You can make it. You got to get a broken piece. You can make it. Isn't that how Jesus made it? Jesus' whole life was how he made it on some broken pieces. See, the Bible tells us when Jesus was born that Mary wrapped Jesus up in some swaddling clothes. What is swaddling clothes? It's just some rags. In other words, some broken pieces. The Bible said that Jesus fed the 5,000. What did he feed them with? Two fishes and five loaves of bread. And the Bible says they had 12 baskets of leftovers. What was the leftover? Broken pieces. What is the Holy Communion? The Holy Communion was the Last Supper. But we couldn't even have the Last Supper unless Jesus had the Passover meal. He took the bread that was left over from the Passover meal and he broke it and said, this is my body. Then he took the wine that was left over and said, this is my blood of the New Testament. See, we would not even have Holy Communion if Jesus did not have some broken pieces. Oh, let me go a little bit further. We would not even have salvation today if there was not some broken pieces. What did Jesus die on? He died on the cross. What is the cross? It's two woods that are broken pieces. Jesus died on some broken pieces for your sin and my sin on Calvary's cross. He died. I say he died on broken pieces. Jesus made it on broken pieces. Paul made it on broken pieces. And you can make it. I say you can make it. I say you can make it on broken pieces. You can make it on some broken pieces. You can make it. But it's going to take broken pieces. As I come to a close, a story one day was told about a man who had been arrested in a communist country. And I forget what this country was. I don't know if it was China or was it North Korea or was it Russia. But they had arrested this man. And this jailer was such a mean man. He didn't like Christians at all. He didn't like the Bible at all. And what he would do, this old jailer, when he would go to the bathroom, he would take his Bible and tear a page out of it and use pages of the Bible for toilet tissue. Well, he gave this man that had been arrested, gave him the job of cleaning the bathrooms. And each day when he would go into the bathroom, because the man wouldn't throw it down in the commode and flush it, he would throw the paper on the floor. The man picked up the paper and he noticed there was some writing. So he started reading it. He noticed that this was the Bible. So he started cleaning it off. And every day he looked forward to going to the bathroom and cleaning up the bathroom. Because that old jailer would tear out a piece of the Bible and throw it on the floor after he done used it. The man would come behind it and clean it. And he would sneak it in his pocket and take it back to his cell and he would read it. One day, when he came in to clean up the bathroom, he picked up a page and he cleaned it off, washed it off good, put it in his pocket, went on to his cell. And when he got there, he read the Bible. It was John 3:16 that says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When he read that, he said, I believe in you, Jesus. And that man got saved. How did he get saved? On broken pieces. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for being so good to us. You've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. Help us to see, Lord, if we are down, the way we can come back up is by reaching out and grabbing onto a broken piece. We can make it through broken pieces. Touch your people's heart right now. Let them know if they can just get a piece of this sermon, they can be saved. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Bread of life sent down from glory.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.
Sit down.